K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Good morning, everybody. This is BJ with Just Stuff. Welcome to our show. Today, my guest is Apostle Alisa S.R. Monroe, and she is the founder and CEO of I Am Ministries and pastor of I Am the Lion of Judah Ministries. She's a teacher, a preacher, a motivational speaker, and mentor to females in ministry and those that are called to ministry. She is a counselor to other pastors. She's a counselor to other pastors, and she is the developer of Christian Deputies International, a virtual training process with Christian athletes around the world, developing girls in the arena of etiquette of developing young ladies to introduce them to society, little Debs, junior Debs, and senior Debs. Ages are from 5 to 25. She is a mother, and most of all, a grandmother to Master Paul LaLuce Perry. And I found out that LaLuce is Spanish and it means the light. So I'd like to welcome you, Apostle, to our show today, and very, very glad to have you as our guest today. So how are you?
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm just humbled that you would even consider having me on your show.
All of the glory goes to God. Today we will be talking about adoration and worship. Is adoration a part of worship? And the definition that I found of adoration is deep love and respect, worship, paying homage. And paying homage is an act of allegiance, an act of honor, an act of respect, and humility. Adoration and worship goes together, I must say that. And adoration is a part of worship. And when we adore God, we are recognizing his attributes and recognizing who he is. And it takes our minds off of ourselves. And Psalm 103, 1 through 4 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is what adoration looks like. And when we adore God, we pay homage, we reverence him, we respect him as our God, and we remember who he is and how far he has brought us and how much he has blessed us. And yes. it brings us into a place of true worship, yes. where our spirit is lifted up to his spirit, knowing that he alone is God. How awesome is that? Yes. That's adoring God. Adoration is a feeling of the soul while in the presence of God. And I don't know how many of you out there has ever felt this way or you've experienced this, but it's just a wonderful place to be in the presence of God. And adoration is not a petition. It's not a confession. It's an experience. It's an experience of his greatness, his holiness, his loving kindness, his mercies. Adoration is fitting only to God. Revelation 5:19 says, "Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord? Who will not fear you, Lord?" God should be the core of our lives. Let him know how much you adore him on a daily basis. Let him know how much you adore him. 1 Chronicles 29:10-14 says, "Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We adore you as the one who is over all things." Adoration is devotion. It comes from our hearts. It expresses our love and admiration, his majesty and awesomeness. But, you know, the thing is, you have to know God to be able to know who you are adoring, what adoration looks like. You have to have a relationship with God in order to participate in this type of reverence to our Father. And you know, it's just a feeling of deep worship, a feeling of deep love, profound love and respect. I know that I've said that earlier, but it just is. And there are so many reasons to adore God, including his inexhaustible supply of love that he never holds back from us.
That's it.
His goodness, his sovereignty, his holiness, mercy, and the list goes on and on. And no one else can supply all of this for us. The world surely can't. And our adoration is a part of worship. Adoration and worship are akin. And when we prostrate ourselves, it's an act of submission and humility. And like I said, the two are related. And Apostle Monroe is going to tell us how worship and adoration are related. They, like I said, they go hand in hand. And she is going to help us understand worship. Apostle? Oh.
One of the things, and the thing that you said, is prostrate, laying prostrate before the Lord. And that comes from the biblical standpoint in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the first set of biblical terms concerns the posture of the worshiper. The Hebrew terminology communicates the idea of bowing down, falling prostrate before a sovereign and worthy God that you can reference in Psalms 95 and 6 and 1 Chronicles 29 and 20. Then when you look at the Old Testament, the worship of God includes the idea of serving with a view of bringing honor to him. Exodus 3:12, Malachi 3:14 and 18. Now, in the Old Testament, and let me make this perfectly clear, we're going to talk about the Old and the New, and we're going to look at the differences in how it came about, but let's look at the definition of what worship is. Worship is used as an act or homage or reverence to God.
Amen.
As an act or homage or reverence to God.
Amen.
Now, we also can look at the definition in Webster, and it says reverent honor and homage paid to God or a sacred personage or to any object regarded as sacred. Now, key term here, and what we must understand is what we're talking about today is we're talking about the worship of the Almighty, the
Amen.
Creator, because God is worshiped as the creator of all life. Now, we can take objects and make them sacred, and we can take things and make them sacred and worship them. We can worship our cars. We can worship our homes. We can worship our clothing. But that is not redeeming us into a life of eternity.
Amen.
So when today we're looking at worship in a manner of talking about the Almighty, mm-hmm. we're talking about the one that will give us eternal life after death. Now, just little keynotes and just little things I like to throw out here, little tippets. Worship is used 108 times in Scripture, word worship. And if it's used that many times, we must pay attention.
Amen.
Worship in the past tense, worshiped with ED, is in there 71 times. In using it as a worshiper, you see it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Worshipers, plural, you see it 7 times. Worshipeth with the ET on the end of it is 6 times. And worshiping is 5. Now, when you look at the terminology and as many times it is used, in all cases, it is not referring to worshiping God. It is referring in some cases to idol worshiping. So now today we're concentrating on the worshiping of God.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
Worshiping of the God, kneeling down before him, at his feet, laying prostrate before him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Old Testament, Exodus 34 and 14 says, "For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God."
Amen.
So he's letting us know right there and then, don't worship any other God. That's why it's important in our lives as Christians. And let me say this to you. In the New Testament, Matthew's 4 and 10, because the Old Testament talks about bowing down because there was only 3 people that God spoke to in the Old Testament. He spoke to kings.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to priests. And he spoke to prophets.
Mm-hmm.
He did not speak to man in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
These are the only people he spoke to. Now, when man once a year wanted to have forgiveness of sin, and they brought the sacrifices to the priest, they presented 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, "Give unto the Lord glory, do unto his name, bring an offering and come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness."
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Leviticus priests were put there for that time and that season so that the people could come to God and bring him something in the form of honoring him so that the priest could go in and worship and ask for forgiveness of sins on their behalf. Are you following me?
Absolutely.
Now, when we look at the New Testament, we look at a shift and we look at a situation. The New Testament bears a similar idea of humble acknowledgments of God's authority with a reverent prostrate position also. And that's in Matthew 28 and 9 and Revelation 5 and 14. The New Testament also bears the serving in the sense of carrying out a religious duty in Hebrews 12:28. Now, when we look at Matthew 4 and 10, this will tell us why we should worship God.
Amen.
And this is when Jesus went into the wilderness. And he was tempted by Satan. Then Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written."
Amen.
Now,
written.
"Thou shalt worship."
Amen.
"The Lord thy God, and him only."
Only. Only.
"Shall thy worship."
Shall thy worship. Amen.
Now, you can't make it any plainer than that.
Amen.
We don't worship our husbands. We don't worship our wives. We don't worship our children. We don't worship a statue. We don't worship wood. He says that you should worship the Lord thy God and him only.
Amen.
No one else should you even serve.
Amen.
And that's coming from the Savior. Now, we also shifted because in the Old Testament, it says Psalms 96 and 9, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of" what?
Holiness.
Holiness. Holiness. That's key.
That's it.
Holiness. And I can back it up in Psalms 95 and 6. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Us kneel before the Lord our Maker." So don't think it's strange when you come into the sanctuary and people are bowing, they're on their knees, they're laying prostrate before him, because it's not strange. This is something that we have been said to do.
Amen.
Okay. But now, we can go even further. When Jesus was at the well speaking to the Samaritan woman, because we want to make it clear to you and let you understand that we don't just have to bow down before him. We don't have to just lie down before him.
Amen.
Because when Jesus came on the board, things shifted. Then we had direct access to the Master. We didn't have to go to the priests anymore, because you see, after Malachi, which was the last book in the Old Testament, for 400 years, God shut it down.
He sure did.
He didn't speak to anybody. "Oh, wretched man that you are." Oh, man, even when he destroyed the world with water, and when Noah, he came back and he said, "I know the heart of man. Man has a wicked heart."
Lord,
when he was repopulating, he already knew man had a wicked heart.
Lord,
but he gave us a way to worship and to come into his presence and to honor him, because that's what he loves.
Yes.
That's what he wants.
Yes.
He wants us to recognize that he is the creator.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we are the creatures.
Amen.
It becomes a lifestyle.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Slow me down, somebody.
Keep going.
But when
keep
Jesus
going.
Was at the well talking to the Samaritan lady, if you go to John 4 chapter, starting at the 21st verse, but I'm just going to read the 24th verse, and it shows you now that we worship God in different ways, mm-hmm. not just lying prostrate. Mm-hmm. It says, God is a spirit.
Amen.
And they that worship him, he gives us instruction of how we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So don't think just because you are in a crowd of people on a Sunday, Saturday, or whatever day you go to your temple, don't think that you're fooling anybody because you know how to dance just right, you know how to pop your neck, you know how to kick it, you know how to raise your hand, you know how to make it seem like. Uh-huh. He says clearly you must worship him in spirit. And in truth.
And in truth.
Now, when you're doing all of that, that's fine, but that's your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Your spirit is on the inside that he created that we cannot see. Because man is a spirit. Because God is a spirit.
That's it.
That is in a body that has a soul.
That's it.
Your spirit is when he created you, he breathed the breath of life inside of you.
Yes.
That is your spirit, man. He puts you in a body. He formed a body and he placed that spirit. And when he breathed the breath and the spirit, he then gave you a soul, which is your mind, will, and your emotions. Mm-hmm. And how many of us worship God from our soul instead of from our spirit? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, mm-hmm. my God. Slow me down. Mm-hmm. Slow me down. Slow me down. I remember the old people used to say, I'm working out my soul salvation. And they were mentally, because that's all they understood.
Mm-hmm.
They were working out what was in their mind. Mm-hmm. They were working it out through their will, through their emotions. Mm-hmm. But he says here in John 4:24, he says, worship him in spirit and in truth. And then when we look, you know, there's so many places and so many things, but in the book of Revelation 14 and 7, he says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the foundation of waters. In Revelation 22:9 says, and it's God speaking to John, then he said, God said unto me, John, see, do it not, for I am that fellow servant and thy brothering of the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. The book of Revelation. Worship God. My gracious. And when we look at it, the term worship, when it first came in, which was in the book of Genesis, and in Genesis 22:5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship.
Sure did.
And come again to you.
Sure did say
worship.
That.
And then you look at Genesis 24 and 26, the 48th verse, the 52nd verse, worshiping God. Then Exodus 4:31 and Exodus 12:27. And worship. We must worship God, for he is who he is.
Yes, Lord.
He's the creator.
Yes, Lord.
We should worship God in everything that we do.
Everything.
A lifestyle. We should always be in a position to give him glory. and to give him honor. For he is truly the creator. Now, we are talking about the living God.
The living
Let's
God.
Make it perfectly clear. Let's make it perfectly clear. Because there are so many gods in the land.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody say they believe in God. But what makes your God so different from my God? What makes Buddha? Why Buddha and the Hindu gods and the statues, the St. Jude's and the St. Christopher's and the whole, and any other, what makes y'all's God so different from my God or the God we serve?
Yes.
Well, first of all, we know he's three in one.
Yes.
Now, Trinity is not in the Bible. I'm just giving you some extra nuggets here. We still on worship. Trinity is not a word that is in the Bible. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, which three are one, come on, talk to me, somebody, is definitely in the Bible.
In the Bible, absolutely.
Okay, that's three, isn't it?
That's three.
Okay. Okay. Now, you'll get into people that will tell you, oh, well, we don't worship the Holy Trinity because that's not even, the word's not even in the Bible.
Yeah,
come on now, we're going to go that way. Let's go that way, but let's go that way correctly. And let's let them know. Now, if somebody say, well, what's the difference between your God? Why is your God so special? And it's very simple why we should worship the God that we worship. Because, you see, he is the only living God.
Only living God.
There is no other God that's alive.
None.
Jesus went into hell. Now, remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you go over to the book of Revelation, you see that the Word was Jesus. So Jesus was with God.
All the time.
In the creation, chronologically, if we put this Bible together. Okay, so therefore, he went into hell, took the keys from Satan, let the captives free, took the sting away from death. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Rose and went above. He ascended high above, just like he descended. Go ahead on into Ephesians. It's over there. Fourth chapter, starting at that 10th verse, somewhere along in there. He is alive, sitting on the right-hand side of the Father.
That's it.
There is no other God that is alive. So if you're talking to someone and they cannot say who they're worshiping, and they say, oh, yes, I worship God. Oh, yeah, well, what God are you worshiping? Are you worshiping God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? And don't tell me that the Holy Ghost is gibberish, because that's not what my Bible says. He says, I will leave you a comforter.
Absolutely.
So when we worship, bring me in. So when we worship, we must understand who we are worshiping, why we are worshiping them. It is very, very important that we know who we're worshiping.
Amen.
And I'm just gonna close it out if you don't mind, because I can continue. We can go and talk about worship, because worship is a lifestyle. It is a way of life. You find yourself talking to the Lord all day long.
All day.
You find yourself last night in my dreams, as I shared with Sister Harden, as I shared with her, I was up all night long, and I found myself with my hand in my dream lifted up in the air. I'm asleep, but I'm worshiping in my sleep. My hand was lifted up to the Lord in heaven. It is a lifestyle. It becomes a way of life.
Yes. Beautiful.
You can't control it.
Beautiful.
Because you're constantly. constantly worshiping. He was waking me up all night long. He was showing me dreams. He was showing, I'm not a dreamer. So when he tells me something, it means something. But I woke up with my hand lifted up in the air, giving him homage, giving him glory.
Beautiful.
Worshiping him.
Beautiful.
Worshiping him. So I'm just going to say this unto you, and I thank you so very much, but the living God